doing today, huh? It's good to be with you. I remember being with you a few years ago. We shared something with Brad once, and he said, "What's that you're talking about? You need to come on Sunday nights and teach for a while." So we did that a couple of years ago. So it's good to be back. I have kind of a little shock going this morning. Dan Lindbergh is here, and he's the man that discipled Caroline and I. And I don't know, somebody from this church was fixing his TV set, and he found out. I was shocked to see him come in. Who's the TV guy? Hey, thanks. Yeah, we're really happy to see him here today. And like I say, he discipled us and taught us about missions and was the first one to take us on a mission trip to Papua New Guinea. And our lives were forever changed. So good morning. I'm Bob Brown, and this is my wife, Caroline, who was singing up there today. And we've been together a few years. Anybody in this room 16 years old? Close to 16? Stand up. That's how old we were when we met. Caroline and I, that's about right there, how old we were when we met. Anybody here 18? I wasn't talking about going home to the Lord. I was, 18. Go ahead, stand up. That's how old we were when we got married.
Wow.
Okay. So soon after that, we had a couple of kids, Jeff and Kelly, and we decided we wanted to have our kids 4 years apart so they wouldn't be in high school competing against each other. But Caroline missed by 4 days, so they were 4 years and 4 days apart. And it was really exciting to have our kids and raise them. And when Jeffrey, our youngest first son, was 3 years old, his grandmother, Caroline's mom, started taking him to Sunday school. And he had the little shorts and the little jacket and the tie and the little fedora, you know, and looked really cute. And in those days, I was racing motorcycles and riding motorcycles a lot, and I was feeling really guilty about not taking my kid to church. So we started to do that and started to look for a church, and it's a whole other story about a miracle of how God had us drive up this driveway, and we walked in this church, and here was these Sunday school teachers that I'd had when I was a little kid, and they had helped start this new church, and they were there, and I remembered some of them. And the pastor could not hardly share the gospel without crying. He just couldn't do it. Touched my heart, and we became Christians in that church in North Portland. And shortly after that, because my family, most of my family are farmers from Laurel. They're dairy farmers out by Hillsboro. And we'd have the family reunion. And when I was a little kid, there were 80 Browns that would show up at this farm. And I was the only kid that got to stay for a week afterward. I got to drive tractor and fill feed bins. And it was fun. I always wanted to do that. And so not long after we had our kids, we moved to the country to raise our kids. A little town called Eagle Creek right by Estacada. And that's where we raised our kids, which is bringing me to my story. I got a job as a meat cutter in a warehouse, big warehouse. Before that, I'd worked in markets and with public and stuff, but this was 7 to 3:30 Monday through Friday. I mean, it was really a good job. And Caroline knew I would be home 30 minutes after dark every night because I fished either Eagle Creek or the Clackamas on the way home. And so as soon as it was dark, I'd be home. So I'm going to say a word, and I want you to think of the first person or thing you think of when I say the word. Champion. Anybody got a word? What do you think? What?
David.
Champion. Anybody else? Anybody who got... I figured I'd hear kids yell and I'll rock.
Dale Sampson.
Who?
Dale Sampson.
All right. Who's that? Okay. All right. Now, if you're under 30, you can answer this one. Talking about a champion. Who is Jesse Owens? All right, I figured nobody under 30 would know that. You ruined my point. My point was going to be that we forget our champions really fast. Okay, I got another one for you. Under 30, who's Terry Baker? Yeah, you're not under 30. Come on. He went to my high school, went to Oregon State, and they lost yesterday, went to Oregon State, and was the only Heisman Trophy winner, I believe, out of the state of Oregon. I got to watch him as a freshman in high school. Okay, here's an easy one. Under 30, who's Joe DiMaggio? The New York Yankee Clipper, greatest baseball player they ever had. Married Marilyn Monroe, the greatest movie star we ever had. But the thing is, these people come and go. We forget them, but we call them champions at the time. And because they did that, they got this trophy. They got to be on a box. That was like being in the Sports Illustrated cover to get on that. So the champions get on that box, but we forget them. They're champions for a while, and we forget them. So the moral of my story is, if you eat Wheaties, which says right here, breakfast of champions, you eat Wheaties every single morning now for the next 20 years, you will be a champion. Yeah, right. So anyway, not long after moving to the country, I got this job in this warehouse. Most of the coworkers knew I was a Christian, and I wasn't ashamed of it, and I shared from time to time. And there was the occasional joke where when the meat would come into the plant, the guy on the big saw, these aren't little tables, these are big saws, he throws a whole front quarter or a hind quarter on, and they break it up and send it down the conveyor belt to we meat cutters who each have a piece that we're supposed to take care of. And so that was the job I had, and I really loved it. But I noticed one thing. Oh, and one day when the meat was coming by, the guy in the saw had cut a cross out of a meat bone and stuck it in the piece that I was going to pull off. And so all the guys snickered and laughed. But they knew I could take it. You know, they knew I could take it, and it was okay. But in the church in America in those days had a problem. The enemy knows a good way to fight a battle is divide and conquer. And so when I was young and first in the church, I loved the worship and the music and everything. And the thing that was splitting the church in those days was music. Usually the fight comes down to one word, and the word then was music. Half the groups said, we want this new worship, we love it, it's everything's good. The other half said, you can't have that loud music, you can't have rock and roll guitars like we see up front now. And you can't have those electric guitars and drums. We all know they're of the devil. And so that feud finally came to an end. And now we have worship teams in almost every church in the world. I mean, we realize it's of God and we can worship Him. Well, the next thing that came out, and that's about the time I met this guy, was being filled with the Holy Spirit. That came out, and that was the thing that started to split the church. But it always comes down to one word. Half the group thought all the gifts were for today. Half the group thought, no, only some of the gifts are for today. And so the word was tongues. Came down to that. And that was the war, whether it was right or not. And the church was divided. And so I was very confused because I was in a church that thought it wasn't for today, but yet I saw a lot of things going on over there that I really liked. I didn't want to fight the enemy with only half my gifts. And so I saw good on both sides, and I just torn. And for 2 years, I studied. And I studied. And I tried to decide what to do. And finally, I remember coming to my pastor. He got a little annoyed. He was younger than me, but he got a little annoyed. And I kept asking him questions. He said, you're spending too much time in the Word on one subject. Well, Bob Brown has never been known as an intellectual and a Bible thumper. The first time in my life I'd ever been told I was spending too much time in the Word. So I felt I was hearing God say, I've got this one, you know? So I simply to go to him for my answer, I found myself racing home after work and trying to find the house empty so I could kneel on my bed and pray. And now I look back at that, and I think we had acres of forest around. I could have gone out by any tree. But I just felt, for that prayer, I had to be there. Finally, one afternoon, the house was quiet. I went straight to the bedroom, knelt, and told the Lord I was tired of searching, that I loved Him and only wanted what was from Him and of Him. I explained that I hated Satan, and I would not receive anything from him. So now, whatever it is, and however you want to do it, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if it does include a prayer language, I'll receive it. But if it doesn't, that's okay too. I just want you. I remember praying some of these things that I didn't recognize when I got through, and I thought, I'm probably just making this up. So I ended my prayer time, but I did want to ask one thing of the Lord. I reminded him that I don't often use fleece prayers. Fleece prayers are if I do this, you've got to prove it by putting a rainbow out there and prove it was real or something. But, you know, those are good once in a while, but I want to live my life by it. But that day, I was scared. I'd been told some of these things are of the devil. I mean, I've been told all kinds of stuff, but I just wanted to know. So this one time I did this, imagine the God of the universe, you ask him this question. I asked, God, if it isn't too much trouble, I remember to this day saying that, if it isn't too much trouble, could you please let me know what I just did was good and of you? I couldn't wait to share with my wife and tell her what had just happened. We had been both moving in the same direction, and I wanted to let her know. And so I was a little shocked to discover that she already experienced what I did, and she just didn't want to tell me until she thought it was the right time. I believe shortly after this encounter was the first time that I discovered Breakfast of Champions. And this all comes from having breakfast with Pastor Brad and sharing something with him like we did 2 years ago, and he goes, He's so neat. Hey, what a pastor. He's, what'd you just say? You got to share that with the church. So a couple weeks later, he calls and says, I'm going on vacation. You're going to share that with the church. So my Breakfast of Champions has nothing to do with hash browns, eggs, gluten-free foods, or anything like that. My Breakfast of Champions, and I don't know where that name that came up. Just one day I was saying it, something, and I just happened to say it. But it's the prayer that you pray during the breakfast. I don't know what I began to call it Breakfast of Champions. I'd always been able to share my faith at work, but I didn't really want to sometimes. I didn't want to be known as a holy roller or a Jesus freak, you know. I just wanted to be a regular guy. So most mornings, because I when I'm on the road a couple hours, I could eat eggs and bacon. But in the first thing in the morning, I'd just soon have a bowl of cereal, you know, I had to get up early and go to work. So most mornings I just ate cereal and it became my breakfast prayer. And this is what I would pray. Dear Lord, in some ways I don't even want to share my faith at work, but I do want to be obedient. From this day forward, I ask you to set it up. I will only witness to those you personally send to me, and I see that they actually want to hear. Please send someone today and I will be faithful. And the first person I want to talk about, I've changed the names. It's a guy named Mark. Mark was a guy that probably on his report card says doesn't get along well with others or doesn't play well with others. He was kind of a guy that flew off the handle a lot. So where we worked, you got to understand, this cooler was about a quarter acre full of beef and hogs and sheep. But out in the hall is where the trucks came in, backed in and dumped the meat off. And these guys were bodybuilders. They would take that meat, hang it up on these trolleys so it could be rolled into the plant. So he had the job of driving this transporter with a rack on the front and driving all the cattle and pushing it down to put it in the cooler so the guys could bring it in. But there had to be a guy there to trim the beef, to get the aged part off and everything before it went in the cooler. And they needed somebody who could get along with Mark, and they'd gone through a few guys. And finally, the boss came to me. He'd maybe heard him. You know, that I was such a bubbling personality and a wonderful person, that I'd be somebody that could get along with him. So I got put out in the hall with Mark, and I got to use everything this guy taught me to make it through the day. And all of a sudden, one day, he brings this cattle pusher to a halt. He just throws it like that. We all wore chains around our waist, and we had a steel on this side and our tools, our six knives on this side, long ones and short ones, so you could sharpen your tools and drop your steel and whatever. He just took that thing off and he just threw it against the wall, knives flying everywhere, and he, whoa, what's going on? I guess I met Mark, the real Mark, you know, and he said, I'm going to the boss, and I'd heard he'd done this several times. So he goes up to the boss, and he's complaining, and so I'm trying to keep up his work and mine for the 30 minutes he's gone, and he comes back, and I said, did I do something? I wanted to get it straight and ask forgiveness, you know. Did I do something? And he said, no. And we shared this morning, and so this has kind of reminded me of this story. It's my daughter. She is kind of not living right, and she's had a baby out of wedlock, and she brings the baby to us, and we take care of it till it's like our own, and then she comes and takes it away again. And then this has happened 3 times, and I'm just broken up. So through the days, I was able to pray with him and talk to him and everything. And Mark and his wife became Christians and ended up coming to a Bible study at our house. And Mark was no longer the mad guy that he always was, and he became my friend. So that was the first guy. I realize what time we're closing here today. I wasn't sure, so I'm shortening things up a little bit here. The next guy was Kurt. Kurt was a fellow meat cutter, and I'd shared with him a little before I started my Breakfast of Champions prayer in the morning, so I had a little bit of a history with him. And it had continued on, and then one night we asked him if they'd like to go to an evangelistic meeting, him and his wife. And it was at Benson High School in North Portland. And the music was awesome. The speaker was awesome. I think they were from Sisseton, South Dakota, a really neat musical family. And when he gave the altar call, the couple sitting next to him, he grabbed her hand, and they actually almost ran down, and they were the first ones there and accepted the Lord. And he was my Breakfast of Champions guy, one of my guys I got to share with, the only one God would really lead me to do it and know that it was the right time. How many people here remember John Begin? Yeah, great guy, good friend. Well, I consider John Begin one of the few downtown Tillamook street evangelists. He just loved to talk with the kids on the street. And he said, Bob, when they're hurting, I'm like, it's like a moth to a flame. They just come to me. But I know when they're not doing well, because I'm walking down the street and they cross the street and go the other side. Well, that reminded me of when I was writing this, because all of a sudden, Kurt wasn't spending much time with me. He was kind of avoiding working next to me and everything. And finally, one day, he says, hey, any room next to you? And we worked on these little racks about 12 inches off the floor so they could steam clean the building at night and get it all spiffy every night. Sure, nobody working next to me today, hop up. So he hops up and he says, we're talking a little bit and I'm not going to say anything about the Lord or anything. I'm not going to push it unless he brings it up. And he goes, I had a dream about you last night. Really? No. You don't understand. I don't dream. I never dream. I go to work. I come home, get my shower, eat my dinner, watch some TV, go to bed, and go to work. I don't dream. Well, you just said you had a dream. He said, yeah, I know. I said, tell me what it was. He said, well, I saw you, and in this dream, you were on your knees praying, and behind you was your wife and her sister, and her sister's friend, who was an airline stewardess. There was a guy led to the Lord, and I wanted to meet the airline stewardess, so that was part of my reason, you know, for bringing these young girls. Carolyn, probably in her 30s. And so the three of them were standing behind you. They'd gone, I had them come through the plant to see the plant. And he said, I remembered them, and in my dream, the three of them were behind you, and they were kind of crying and praying for you. I went, whoa. And he said, you're praying, and you were like praying in Chinese or something. I couldn't understand it. And I'm standing there, look at this guy. God, if it isn't too much trouble, could you prove to me that what I did was right? Yeah. I said to him, buddy, I know Christians that have been Christians a long time and say they can't hear God's voice. You've been a Christian about 2 weeks and you've already seen, he's given you a dream and a vision, and you have become my answer to my prayer to him, the full circle. Buddy, you need to remember that God used you to answer my prayer. He says, whoa, that's heavy. Due to time, I'm going to skip Louie, but I'll go right to Bart. Bart was kind of like a little weasel in the plant. Every town or every place you work has got one little guy that loves to know everybody's business and then tell everybody else your business. Kind of like Wally in Crocodile Dundee, you know? You remember that. And so Bart comes to work next to me, and I remember my Breakfast of Champions prayer. I ain't saying nothing till he opens the door. So finally, Bart starts saying something about church and Jesus and that thing, and you know, I said, okay, God, game's on. So I started to share some things with him, and it wasn't long before he just has a tirade. He just lays into me. said, Brown, I am sick and tired of you talking about Jesus and God and church and all that stuff. I've had it up to here. I've had it. I said, are you done? You got anything else to say? Go ahead, because when it's my turn, I get to talk. I said, Bart, I knew how you felt. And I'm told God that you're the last person in this plant that I want to tell about Jesus. And I would not do it unless you open the door. And he lowers his head and he said, you know, my wife told me last night she's thinking about leaving. And this involves my kids, finances, and everything. I'm a mess. I'm busted up. So he and his wife became Christians. Long story short, they started coming to the Bible study at our house, along with Louie, who I skipped. So here we are. I was preparing for today, and I had this thought. And if there's anything I would love to teach on, it's hearing the voice of God. I want everybody that's a Christian to know how to hear the voice of God. And this thought, see, that thought can become a word. I'm not that smart that I have all these good thoughts, but I have this thought. And so I'm saying, okay, God, what are you saying? He says, this breakfast of champions, if it's such a good thing, why aren't you doing it anymore? Why aren't you doing it now? Well, I suppose because coming a missionary for 10 years, I figured it was my full-time job. I didn't need to pray every day. It was what I did. You know, and then coming home, I figure I've been around the Lord long enough and somebody wants to know something, I should have the answer. But the difference is when you pray the prayer, it's God being a part of the equation. He's bringing the guy to you. It's Him setting it up. And you're getting to work with Him, not on your own, you know. And He'll give you words to say. So, next morning, out of obedience, I jump-started. I call it the BOC, Breakfast of Champions. I said, Dear Lord, I'm sorry that I don't pray the prayer anymore. Thank you for reminding me that if I'm going to teach it, I better be doing it. I want to be obedient, so I will try to remember every day to pray the prayer. So, since I rebooted, here's a few things that have happened. Very next morning, I get a knock on my door. It's my neighbor. My neighbor's a really good guy, but he's very quiet, kind of, well, negative. Doesn't like to be wrong, so I'm pretty careful, and I only see him once in a while. But here he comes to my door, and he says, I'm getting rock delivered at my house tomorrow. Way more than I need, some crushed rock and polished rock, and decorative rock. You can have all you want. Really? Have all I want? Wow. So Caroline finds out that the lady that's driving the truck is from our church. She brought the truck and said her boys are coming to work with him the next day. So I got three people from my church involved in this whole situation. God's involved, and now people from my church. So the next morning, I get a knock on my door. My neighbor, hey, said, you got to be over there. The rock's there. We got to get it moving. So I'm loading rock and bringing it to my house, and the two boys are out there working, and Caroline goes out and meets the boys. They're from our church. The two guys, she said, these are kids from our church. She said, wait till I tell you what the guy said about those kids. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? He said, man, those are good kids. If there were more like that around, what a different world this would be. This is a guy who doesn't know the Lord. My word to him came through those kids. I didn't have to say a word. My word to him for the day came through them. He was so impressed. So, next day, got to get that rock out. My bark dust is coming. Got to have that driveway clean. So I got to use your testimony, and the kids' testimony as an entry to be able to talk to him about what Pastor Brad talked about the Sunday before, about raising boys to be men and raising girls to be women, and how our church wants to do everything we can to keep them from being confused and knowing what they got. I got to tell him that because of you guys. Otherwise, it wouldn't have come up, you know? So you were a part of the prayer. Like my friend, you were a part of answering the prayer. So it was really, really neat. So next morning, fourth day, no knock. But I look out, and he's standing by my little work shed. I built a little shed to keep my tractor in. So there he is. He must be asking for information again. He's in my yard. So I went to say good morning, and he said, now my wife wants, you've seen this ad about the she shed on TV, about the water, you know. He said, my wife wants a shed now like yours to do her plants, a garden shed and everything. So we got to talk a little more. So those are three or four of the times that I got to talk with my neighbor, never before, about the Lord. I was expecting somebody to ask a question. I wasn't expecting a knock on the door. So I thought about Mark 7:7. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. His wife has been very ill, and Caroline has spent a lot of time praying with her and going to coffee with her and things like that. This guy's a fabulous cook. So a few times this year, to say thank you for what Caroline has done, he's brought baked goods. Good stuff. So that's one reason I want to get to know him a little better too. And I'm praying that his knocking would be transferred to knocking on heaven's door. She's been praying for him every day for years. A few days later, he was working on his boat. I thought, well, I can instigate my prayer. I prayed my prayer, and he's right there. I can instigate it. I can go down, and he, you know, it's up to him to say something. But I said, see, you're talking, working on your boat again, still leaking, huh? Yeah. I said, I hear you like Mexican food, his wife told my wife. He said, yeah, kind of. I said, well, I'll tell you what. You told me that when I was tried to pay you back, you said, no, you are not paying me back. He said, I'd rather you owe me than I owe you. So I knew I couldn't pay him back, so I said, we'd like to take you for dinner. It's not a payback. It's to say thank you. He said, you just did. That's enough. Right there. He just said it. You don't have to buy me a dinner. Proud guy. Proud guy. So we're still going to go to dinner, but he said it's going to be Dutch. So one more thing happened. We had a family person in Bay City. Their son died, and they had a celebration of life in Salem. We went down for that just a few days after all this happened, but I still prayed my prayer that morning. And so afterward, we had time to go to Walmart. And Caroline had recently bought me a new chic, newfangled. You know, you used to have one blade on your razor, and you had two, and all of a sudden, now you have four, you know. And so she bought me this newfangled dangled razor, and I think you saw that I was trying to grow a beard. I think it was her way of saying, no, I don't. You get a shave. So I needed some blades for it. And can you believe it? I go to Walmart, and there's $1,000, there's chainsaws and all kinds of stuff you can pick up and take to the cash register. But these little razor blades are so special, they're in a lock key box. Why could I cut myself with a little flat razor? I don't know. So you can't, you know. So I'm looking at him, and a guy walks up, starts talking to me about razor blades. Kind of a weird guy. You know, maybe that's what I'm like when I talk to other people, weird guy. But, you know, and so I'm talking to him, and we're looking through the glass and trying to read it, and I'm saying, yeah, all this new stuff, you know. And he said, yeah, something new every day. And then he goes, hey. I said, yeah. And he goes, there's something that says there's nothing new under the sun. I said, yeah. He said, you believe that? I said, yeah. Well, these are all new things. I said, yeah, they're all new things, but they're made out of the same elements that God put here when he created the earth. There's new cars every year, but they're made out of the same sand and water and oil that's in the ground and everything else. There's nothing new. God gave it all to us. I said, like solar. You have solar heat and solar this and solar that, but the sun was here. It's always been here. There's nothing new under the sun. God gave it all to us. He said, I like that. As we said goodbye and we had to go to the check stand, number such and such to get my $11 worth of blades because I had to wait in a longer line because they don't trust me to carry it to the cash register. But, so you know what? I was telling, we have the really neatest post office guy. I was telling him that story and he said, have you prayed for him? And I hadn't been praying for that guy, so every morning now I pray for the guy from Walmart. Don't know his name, but I pray for the guy that was looking for razor blades. So today some of you may feel a little afraid to do this. This is my whole thing. I want to share with you Breakfast of Champions so that it'll become a part of your life. And you can make it work out any way you want it or call it any way you want it. I'm just giving you some, you know, I haven't, you know, got a patent on what I'm doing. I'm just saying it helps to motivate you to share, especially motivate you to be a part of God sharing. Because he's bringing the guy, like the guy in the chariot in Ethiopia. God brought him there so somebody would walk by him, and he's a part of the equation. Then you're not just guessing, you know. And so maybe today you feel a little afraid of what your friends will think if they find out you're a Christian. Maybe you're worried about what your fellow workers might say. Let me tell you about somebody in the Bible who was called a champion. When I went to read this, I couldn't believe it, that actually this guy was actually called in the Word of God a champion. And there was the word I've been working on through this whole thing. Israel and Philistine were at war. Like the game of chess, there was a stalemate. Each side couldn't move the other side. All of a sudden, this huge guy, he was 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall, 600 pounds. He was huge, covered in armor. He walks out and says, if any of you can take me on and beat me, we'll leave. You know, big guy. And one article I read, Saul was shaking in his tent, worried that all the guys were thinking he should go do it, and he didn't want to do it. So out walks a little shepherd boy. And like fellow students at school or co-workers at work, the giant taunts him. He may get taunted. They may put a bone in the meat and send it down the conveyor belt to you. But the little boy was filled with the Spirit of God. He doesn't taunt back. He speaks truth back about his God. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. And that day, a young boy with a sling and a stone defeated a world-class worship team come up. A world-class champion. So that's what this whole story's been about. Pastor, when I was telling him about it, as we sat in the booth, he said, man, I like to share that with the people, so I'd like you to think about it as we get ready to close the service. You can actually partner with God as he brings you people in need of him. This ministry doesn't cost anything. I'm not asking you to stand and make a pledge. Not asking you to come forward. I'm simply sharing a way that as you pray over your breakfast or lunch, that you will ask God to bring folks into your life. And as you recognize that he has, you will be obedient to share the love of Jesus with them. One of my favorite verses, 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than sacrifice. God says to obey is better than sacrifice.